This week is Parashas Tazria Mitzora. Parashas Tazria, a double header.
Yes.
Two parashios. Catch up in Eretz Yisrael. They catch up this week, right? You heard a little in Eretz Yisrael. So you heard last week Parashas Tazria. Ooh, so it's a chazara for you. Okay, let's go through a few short things. The parasha begins. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor Zois Tieh. Let's just jump for the moment to Parashas Mitzora. Okay, maybe we'll come back to Tazri in a moment. But let's jump ahead to the Parashah of Mitzora. Zos tia teras ha-Mitzor b'yom toharaso v'huvo el ha-koyhein. I saw in a sefer that focuses on Musar. And he says that when a person... No, let's go back to when the person gets the neg, I made a mistake. Zos tia... I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Let's go back to Parashas Tazria. When a person discovers that he has a nega, when he discovers he has Adam kiyav yar b'sura seis apachas v'heres v'hayav v'ar b'sura l'negat saras v'huva he shall be brought el aharon hakoyen oy el achad mibunav hakoyanim. So the Balaam wants to say a very important yisod, very simple, short and sweet. Don't look for problems. It's not your place to go. The pasuk is very clear that when a person has a problem, when a person has a nega, he is obligated to present himself to the kohen. Not the kohen goes around, knocks on your door. Can I come into your house? Can I look at your walls? Can I look at you? Can I examine your head, your beard, your skin? Maybe you have a nega. Oh, you probably do have a nega. Because I know that you're not a good person. In other words, the Bali wants to say is, it's none of your business to go around looking for people's problems. Mind your own business. The pasuk is clear, the person is to be brought, the person should bring himself to the kohen, not that the kohen should come and examine him. The connotation is, we don't look for other people's chesronos. People have problems, everyone has problems, in tzadik shayasta v'lo yechata. So when a person should deal with his problems in a responsible way, but it's not your place to broadcast and to seek out the chesronos of other people. A very simple diak. V'huvo il Aaron HaKohen. Not that Aaron HaKohen is going to come and knock on your door and say, I think you got a problem, I want to make trouble for you. Okay, let's go to another idea. The following idea I saw, he shall be brought. What means that he shall be brought? I don't know. Here's the question.
Who brings himself.
He brings himself. Okay, let's go to another idea. Well, the person is actually Tamei. So the pasuk says, "Badad yeshev michutz lamachane emayshava." Simple question. What do Chazal say? What does the Torah say about solitary confinement? We know that Rachman Litzlan, people that are incarcerated, it is a very frightening. The ultimate form of punishment in the legal system is solitary confinement. They say people go; they literally can lose their minds. They can lose their minds in solitary confinement. Is there such a thing in the Torah of solitary confinement? So l'chor, the answer is yes. Badad yeshev, he shall be in isolation. Michutz la'machane, a person that has tzaras, he has to be sent out of the shalosh machanos. Badad yeshev, he should be all alone. But the truth is, it says one other thing in the pasuk. Tomei, tomei yikra. Now let me ask you the age-old question. If a tree falls down in the forest and there is no one there to hear it crash, does the impact of the tree landing on the ground produce a sound? Does it produce a sound? So the answer is, well, it depends. What is a sound? Is a sound totally depend upon the sound waves? The tree crashes. Sound waves certainly have been produced. Or is a sound defined by a person listening? There has to be a human being there to hear those sound waves. It's not called a sound. It is a philosophical question depending on how you define sound, so on and so forth. But when the pasuk says tomei tomei yikra, we could ask the question, but simply tomei tomei yikra, he shall call out, he shall say, I am tomei, I am tomei. Is someone listening to those words? Or is he just talking to himself? Seemingly, the word yikra has a connotation that there is someone that is listening. Because if we just say, just if there would be a purpose of saying you're in isolation, you're all alone, and you say, Tomei Tomei Oimer. Tomei Tomei Yidaber. Yikra has a connotation of calling Vayikra El Moshe. HaKadosh, every time you find the word Vayikra in the Torah, Kriya, it has a connotation that there's someone there on the other end that is listening. So here, what?
I mean, other Vayidaber would also require a receiver.
Okay, Nechanami, so Vayidaber and Vayikra, two different words in Nechanami, but Vayikra, at least the Derech Pshat, the word Vayikra has a connotation, I'm trying to suggest, is that there's someone on the other end listening. Now, I actually saw this.
Someone accidentally approaches him, doesn't know he's a...
No, but he's in isolation. He's mechus l'machanos, sholosh machanos, sholosh machanos. Now, and I saw this line in the sefer. I saw this in someone who wrote up some of the shiurim of Yosher Ber Soloveitchik. He wrote. There's a section. He writes that the title is isolation, but not abandonment. Okay, and the theme of this, the drasha, was not what I'm trying to say. He talks about the role of the Kohen, but it's a very powerful term. In Chazal, there's something called isolation. But isolation does not mean you're all alone. Isolation means Bodod Yeshev Michutz Lamachane Moishava. You're all alone. But still, even where he is, the Torah does say, Tomei Tomei Yikra. He has to have a way to communicate, to express his frustration, his isolation. Yikra. Yikra seemingly has a connotation that he's still connected to some degree to society. There's someone there on the other end that's listening and knows about his predicament and is praying for him that he should get better. That Sarah should go away and he should be able to one day return to society. And that is a very powerful lesson in Musar Haskell in dealing with people, Rahman al-Islam, who are in a lot of trouble. There are people today that have all different types of trouble. And sometimes they're to blame, sometimes they're not 100% to blame. Society is to blame. Whatever the situation is, when a person has to be isolated for his problem, it's very dangerous for there to be isolation and abandonment. Many times you have an attitude, that's right, you've committed a crime, you have to suffer, and you have to be isolated, so you shouldn't be a danger to society, even like in you hear about it in schools. Many schools don't want to take certain types of children because they're a bad influence. So they have to be isolated. But just because you're isolated, there's always a danger that the isolation can lead to abandonment. The Torah here is creating a balance. On one hand, it's Bodod Yeshev, but Mitzat Sheni, it's Tomei Tomei Yikra. Yikra means there's a lifeline. There's a degree of communication where you connect yourself to someone on the other end that's listening to you, listening to your frustration, and will be able to somehow give you the ability to cope with the problem. Okay, let's go to another short idea. Yeah.
He's saying Tomei Tomei Yikra is told to Meshefer. That he realized.
Oh, so you want to say the one that he's speaking to is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yikra.
Same idea. Abisha has not abandoned him, even though he's saying Yikra.
So he's able, so he's not alone. He's not abandoned because he has a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm trying to say that he's speaking to a human being. There's like abandonment means. Okay. No, you're saying very interesting. Let me give you another idea. Adam Harishon, Hashem created Adam Harishon on day 6. Chava was not yet created early in the day, and it says in the pasuk that there was the grass came to the tip of the surface, but did not rise above the ground. Why? The Adam ayin la'avoid eswadam. It would not rain until Adam Harishon would be misfalo. Now the question is, the Adam ayin la'avoid, the Adam had to be misfalo. Well, I made a mistake. Let's go a step back. Vayipach ba'ap of nishmas chayim. Okay, let's go back to the creation of man. Hashem created man. How did Hashem create man? Vayipach ba'ap of, he blew into his nostrils nishmas chayim. Targum. The pasuk says vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. The targum. Adam was a ruach mimalala, a speaking creature. Question: who is he talking to? Day one, Chava was not yet created. He's a ruach mimalala. He's speaking. Who are you talking to? Talk to yourself? Talk to the animals? Animals don't. You don't communicate with animals. If a tree falls in the forest and there's no one to hear the sound, does this tree produce a sound? Is that called a sound? There's no one listening.
You're speaking to yourself.
Oh. Is that normal?
You're
talking to yourself? Okay, so that's the issue. So or means you speak like your answer. You're speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was no one else in the world yet at this point in time, but Adam was, why was, because he was communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the Chacham, maybe that's what you can apply the same idea when it comes to isolation. I just want to make this point, is that I think it's an important yisod. Badad yeshev michutz lamachane mayshava, mitzad echad, he is all alone, he is in isolation. But that same matzav in time, the pasuk says, what does he do in isolation? Tamei, tamei yikra. Yikra has a connotation that he's talking to someone. Yikra has a connotation, there's a communication. That means you're not all alone. So where do you draw the balance? So Hashem is listening. So the abandoned means you're not being abandoned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there is, there's no such thing in Chazal, in Klal Yisrael, of isolation with abandonment. You may be isolated, but you're not in a state of abandonment. There's always a tamei yikra. There's always a yikra, whether it's to someone on the outside or it's with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're never alone in any situation. Okay, I want to go to an idea, raw idea. I don't have all the Rashi Prakim, but just something which has to be elaborated upon. We have here the issue of tzaras, negat tzaras. Negat tzaras, we all are taught that it comes, one of the reasons why a person suffers from tzaras because of lashon hara. Now the problem is that if we study the Torah, indeed we find there are individuals in Tanakh who did suffer tzaras because they spoke lashon hara. For example, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Vehein lo yaminu li," and Hashem recruited Moshe to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Moshe says, "They're not going to believe me." Hashem said to him, "They will believe you, and I'll show you a sign that they will believe you. You'll give them the sign. Take the matzah. Put the matzah into your put your hand into your." Put your hand into your cloak and take it out, and it will be smitten with tzaras. So Chazal comment, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to use the simit tzaras? It's not a pleasant thing. Tzaras is a nega. It's something, it's a sign of tzar. It's something that is harmful. Why did this have to be the sign that Hashem used to show Moshe that Klal Yisrael would believe in him? To use the sign to show Klal Yisrael that Hashem has sent him? Because Moshe spoke Lashon Hara on Klal Yisrael. He said to them, that Vehein lo yamin li. Who else spoke lashon hara? Miriam. Miriam said about that Moshe that he was parish from his wife shaloi kedin. He was parish from his wife for no good reason. Who else do we find suffer lashon hara? Naaman spoke. Naaman. They spoke.
Gehazi
spoke lashon hara. They spoke. So we do find different Ishe HaTanach that spoke Lashon Hara and did suffer Tzaras. Now, I don't know anything. I just saw this very quickly in a Sefer by Rav Meir Tzvi Bergman. Actually, he's a doctor. He goes by Dr. Meir Tzvi Bergman. He wrote a couple of Svarim. As I have, just looking through some old Svarim I have in the house. And he goes through, he's a very big bucky. This fellow is a very big bucky in Tanakh. And he asks a very simple question, but he rounds off a whole list of people, of people who also have spoken Lashon Hara, and yet we find they did not suffer from Tzaras. For example, Yosef HaTzadik, Vayave esdi basam ra'a el avihem. He brought an evil report to his father. Nowhere do we find that Yosef HaTzadik suffered Tzaras. He may have suffered by being sold as a slave to go down to Egypt and suffered all those years, whatever it was, but we don't find he suffered Tzaras. Eliyahu Hanavi spoke Lashon Hara on Klal Yisrael. He said, Kanoi Konis, we learned this yesterday, Klal Yisrael, they're not performing a bris milah. They're abandoning a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So how did Eliyahu Hanavi, how was he punished? He was punished by having the requirement of going to every single bris milah. But we don't find anywhere that Eliyahu Hanavi suffered Tzaras. Let's talk about Doik HaDoimi. Doik HaDoimi convinced Shaul, he said to Shaul, that Achimelech has given food and the spear or the sword of Goliath to David, and they're all in on the conspiracy against you. And Shaul HaMelech accepted the slander of Doik HaDoimi and wanted to kill, and he actually killed Noiv Yerakohanin. And in fact, Chazal said that the only reason why Shaul was paranoid against David was because of Doik. Doik was the one who kept on flaming the fires. So We don't find anywhere in Tanakh that Doiko Adomi suffered Saras. And he has a list. I don't get it. I'm just telling you, Rashi Prakam, he goes through a whole list of people that he shows, Chazal make it very clear, they slandered someone else, and yet there is no punishment of Saras. And yet we have just a few, a handful we have. Let's say, let's just focus on Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the only one I want to focus on. He said, V'hein lo yaminu li, v'lo yishma b'koli. What? What about Miriam? Miriam was after Matan Torah. Miriam was after Matan Torah. But still the theme is there. Miriam was after Matan Torah. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. And so this question. I don't have a clear answer. He elaborates here. I just want to tell you his Yisoid. And again, the Yisoid, you have to study Tanakh to fully understand the Yisoid. He says a very big Chiddush. It's a tremendous Chiddush, and you have to see if it's really true. The only time there is saras is for motzi shemra. We all remember as children when they taught us the laws of lashon hara. So we review them every so often. There's lashon hara and there's motzi shemra. Lashon hara is true. Motzi shemra is a lie. It's a lie, not just it's a lie in order to cause someone harm. There are many. There's rechilus. Rechilus is when you say something to cause a person to hate. When you cause one person to hate another person, there are all different types of lashon hara. He tries to show that all of the individuals that spoke lashon hara, where Chazal said they brought a report, an evil report, they spoke lashon hara, which basically means they said things that were true, or they presented the facts in a way that were misleading. But the statements that they said were emes. The specific examples in Tanakh where we find individuals suffering saras, which we're not only going to go to Moshe Rabbeinu for the point we want to make, is where it was absolutely false. And that's why saras in mitzora is Rashi Tevos, motzei shem ra. Motzei shem ra in Chazal means a lie. It's 100% false. It's one thing to present, to go to Yaakov, and let's talk about Vayavei Diba Samra El Avihem. That the Shvatim, they were mezalzel, they're eating Eivir Min Achai. Well, the truth, to some degree, it was true. It was Eivir Min Achai, because the animal was still shaking. The animal, but the halacha is, once you do a Maisa Shchita, it's not in halacha considered Eivir Min Achai. He presented, he told Yaakov Avin, he told his father, you know, the animal is still shaking when they're eating the animal. The animal is alive. He told them the facts, but he spun the facts in a way that they were being over on an avera. But the truth was they were not being over on an avera, but the facts were correct. The animal was quivering when they already began to eat from the animal. In halacha, is the animal what? So Miriam, you have to say, was a complete lie. Miriam, you have to say, I don't know. That's why I didn't have time to go into Delvin. He explains in detail all the only thing, the only reason why I just want to focus on the first one. Okay, so this is his Yisoid. Again, I told you, he elaborates. You have to see everything he says inside. Some things he says, it's a little bit of a stretch. You have to see, but this is an idea. It's a very good question. The question is solid. Go through Tanakh. You're going to find a lot of people where Chazal explicitly said they slandered their fellow. And nowhere do we find any source that these people suffer from Saras. And yet you have another collection of people that Chazal say spoke Lashon Hara, and they did suffer Saras. So where do you draw the line? So he's suggesting a Chiddush, which has to be understood, is that there are different types of Lashon Hara. Some types of Lashon Hara deserve Saras, and there are some types of Lashon Hara that do not deserve Saras.
Can't you say, you have to go to the Kayan to get Saras?
Yes.
So who went to the Kayan? Miriam stood in front of Aaron and the relationship, so
yeah.
The Kayan was right over there. She didn't have a choice.
Okay, but so what, you want to go say that Doik had Saras, he just never went to the Kayan? That's not the Pashup Shah. Pashup Shah is that he never needed to go to the Kayan. He never had a discoloration on his skin that he even needed to go to the Kayan. Because if he did, people would notice. People notice someone that has Saras, and they say, you got a problem. You better take care of this. The Kayan, you don't go look for it. But when it comes to be, then obviously a person can't hide. You can't hide from your problems.
Maybe Hashem doesn't give an einish that a person can't be omitted. And then because we say Hashem doesn't give
Yosef at Tzadik can be Oymed. Yosef at Tzadik, he suffered much greater things than this. Yosef at Tzadik had much greater nisyonos. It's a good kasha. I don't have a good answer. It's a great kasha. Why are we differentiating between one group of people that did save the Gosha and did not get tzaras and one that did?
Well, where does it say that in every case a person gets Mitzorah? It says that there's a connection between Lashon Hara and Mitzorah, but it doesn't say anywhere that in every single case you get Mitzorah.
Why not? It's a rule. If this is what happens, if a speaking Lashon Hara, this is the result, it's cause and effect during the time of Chazal, during the time of the Avos, so it should be true. At least, I don't know the end, I'm just throwing out this question. This is his topic of the question. His Yesod is, he suggests the following Yesod, and the only reason why I like the answer is for the first case I want to give, which is very, very, very beautiful idea. And that is, he says that in order for there, Tzaras is Lashon of Motzi Shem Ra. Motzi Shemra means there has to be a degree of a lie. A lie is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not tolerate. Lashon Hara is obviously, there's nothing, is not so bad. Because at least it's true. At least there's a kernel of, it's true. The horror of Lashon Hara is, it's no one's business to know the truth. It's no one's business. Does it affect you? Is someone trying to steal your money? Is someone trying to kill you? Is someone trying to destroy your life? So mind your own business. Everyone has skeletons in their closet. As long as they're not coming to cause you harm, then mind your own business. That's what Lashon Hara is all about. What is Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara is something that is true. When you take something that is true, that has no bearing on someone else's life, and you go and you tell someone for gossip, or you take facts that can be interpreted multiple ways and you spin true facts in a way which is harmful to someone else, that is Lashon Hara. But being that the facts are correct, so we don't find in Tanakh, as Rav Bergman is suggesting, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes out with the full fury and gives a person saras, which is very disgraceful. But in situations that are outright sheker, it's motzi shemra that Hashem does not tolerate, that deserves saras. L'may nafkamina, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say about Klal Yisrael? V'hein lo yaminu li. They don't believe in me. Klal Yisrael, they're not maminim. They're not maminim. Hashem says, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is sheker of a chosef. Klal Yisrael are maminim. There's no truth. There's not even one iota of truth in saying about Klal Yisrael that they're not. You can say, no, Klal, they're partially maminim, they're partially not maminim, they believe in this, they don't believe in this. Sometimes they like the rabbi, sometimes they don't like the rabbi. Hashem punished Moshe Rabbeinu instantly with Tzaras to teach us, to teach the world, that Klal Yisrael are maminim b'nei maminim. There's not one iota of truth, and that's why it's a beautiful chizuk for us to hear such a thing, such a word. Is that's why Moshe Rabbeinu got the tzaras, because we are maminim. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have in the beginning of the parasha, I mentioned this last year, but I like it again, so I like the idea very much, I'm going to repeat it again. Poverty is not something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Poverty is something which is not meant to be. And the proof to this, some people, they have a philosophy, a very distorted view of life, that it's good to be poor. It's good to be poor. This is a horrible mentality. And the proof is, we deal with the Yoledes. There's a Yoledes who is wealthy, and a Yoledes that is not wealthy. So when the Torah describes her, bring her korbanos, v'im nikeva. When a woman, after she finishes the days of the counting, she brings a Pesach al Moed, so the Torah tells exactly what she should bring. She brings a keves for an oila and Keves ben Shnosel Olu ben Yonav ben Solachatas, and she offers the carbon. Now, what happens if she can't afford to bring a keves? The Imloisim So Yodah Dei Seh, she can't afford to bring a sheep, a seh. Then she brings Vlokha Shtei Sarim Oshnei Vinei Yoyna Echol Olu Vyechol Lachatas. So the Torah differentiates between a woman who is wealthy and a woman who is poor. But the difference is, in between the two sections, it says, Zos Toras Hayoledes La Zochor O La Nekeva. I'm willing to bet that if you were given the task to write the Torah, you would put the expression Zos Toras Hayoledes La Zochor La Nekeva at the end. Torah says, Uvim Lo Simei Tohara Levena Levas, when she finished the Metahara, Tavi, she brings a keves, ben shnas, soli oilov, and yenos, lechatas, and she brings it, and after, then it would say, after she brings, the wealthy woman brings it, it would say, vim lo, simsoyo, de sel, lochosh, de sel, wash, de yenechaliv, lechatas, the chiper, la hakoin, vitohera, and then it would say, zois, taras, hayoledis, la zocha, velana keva. But that's not what the Torah says. The Torah discusses the Ashira, and after the Ashira, the Torah says, zois, toiras, Hayoledes la zochor oy la nekeva. The parsha is over, and then it's like a P.S. Oh, by the way, in parentheses, just in case chas v'shalom she can't afford to afford an animal, then she can bring instead of the animal, she can bring in its place two birds. So what is the message the Torah is telling us? This concept that there should be a person that can't afford the Moisim Soyada Desa is not even on the radar screen. It's not part of the original parsha. The only parsha for Oyoledes is an Isha that is an Ashira. That is the only parsha. And after we mention the halacha of an Ashira, the parsha concludes Zois Toras Hayoledes La Zohar O La Nekeva. The parsha is over. And now, Derech Agav, just in case there happens to be something which is not ideal, then we make mention of the Aniyah. But the way the Torah writes with the word Zoros, that is very revealing in the Torah's perspective on how much poverty is something the Torah does not want should exist. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here the inyan of the nega. The nega, Chazal tell us, describes the nega with the word enoi. Let me read the words of the pasuk. V'ra ha'kayim b'yom ha'shvi, v'hineh ha'nega omad be'enav. Lo'yfaso ha'nega ba'ar. Torah says that the nega is omad be'enav. It stands in its appearance. Okay, let me, the word, the better pasuk. Hofach enoi. Where is that pasuk? Where do you say the word? You say the Havachinai. You know where that pasuk is? Doesn't sound Havachinai. Okay, give me 1 second. Give me 1 second. Okay, so let's leave it with the word Einov. Okay, Va'omad Be'einov. Okay, the word Nega is Rosh Tevos, is the same letters as the word, the same letters as the word Oneg. Oneg. Well, this is a Chazal. Oneg and Nega have the same letters. The only difference is, where is the Ayin? Is the Ayin in the beginning of the word, or was the Ayin at the end of the word? So, if the nega remains where it is, meaning it is not hafach omad be'enov, it is interpreted to mean that if the ayin remains, the ayin remains in its position at the end of the word and does not revert back to the beginning to change from nega to oneg. Now, what is the deeper meaning of this maimer chazal? So there's another maimer chazal that tells us the word oneg. What does it mean, oneg? Oneg means delight. What is delight? It's the three letters in the beginning of the Sefer Bereishis. Eden, Nohor, and Gan. Unohor, Yoitzei, Me Eden. There was a river that went out from Eden, Lahashkois Es Hagan. Three different items. Eden, Chazal tell us no living creature was ever in Eden. Ayin Loira Osa. Then there's the Nahar, the river, the spring which flows from Eden, and it goes out to water the Gan. So there's an order. There's Eden, Nahar, Gan. Where is Adam HaRishon to be found? In the Gan. Adam was put in the Gan Eden. Adam was enjoying the spiritual delights in Gan Eden, which were emanating, which were coming from, came through the channel of the river, which came from Eden. Chazal tell us that this is a mashal for this world. This world, in one sense, one large Gan Eden, to some degree, if a person is in the kind of mitzvah kodesh baruch hu, and all of the bracha that comes to this world is channeled through the spiritual stream coming from Shammai, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is equivalent, which is the nimshal, the mashal of Eden. What is an, and if a person is mekayim the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then Eden, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is a mashal for Eden, from Eden channels through the Nahar, through the spiritual channels, all of the bracha into this world, into the Gan. That is called Oneg. When everything is operating according to plan, a person is in a state of enjoyment. When you're living a life of Kedusha Utahara, you're doing the Rasna Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's like Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden, who's enjoying the spiritual benefits that are flowing from Eden through the Nar. What happens when things don't go according to plan? Then the Eden, the light, Eden means the light, turns into a Nega. What is the shurish of Eden turning into a Nega? It's when the person does not realize where the source of bracha comes from. The difference between Nega and Eden is the Ayin is in the wrong place. The person thinks that the source of all bracha is right here in this world. The Nahar is not channeling bracha from there is no source. The Eden, the delight that a person has is on the wrong side of the river. Meaning, the symbolically meaning is that a person thinks, what's the difference between Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael? The Pasuk in Parashas of Ekev says that in Mitzrayim it is a land that is watered by the Nile. Eretz Yisrael is the land, you're coming into Eretz Yisrael, it's not like Mitzrayim. The land is not watered through the Nile. The land is watered through rain. Limtar Hashamayim Tishtematar. The land is watered through the Bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The difference is in Eretz Yisrael, you recognize, you makir, that it's not Koichi V'Oitzim Yadi Osli Yisachayil Hazeh. In Mitzrayim, you don't need to come on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't need it to rain. You don't need it to mispal for rain. A person is in control of his destiny. He just needs to go to the Nile, to the Ar, and create some canals to irrigate the fields, and you're set for life. In Eretz Yisrael, there is no source of water, natural source of water that you can rely upon. The only source is to be makir, that it comes from Shemayim, and for it to come from Shemayim, a person needs to be mispalo. That idea, that mindset is a mashal for the entire success in this world. When a person recognizes that his bracha, the shefa bracha, comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the Shersha bracha, then everything is fine and good. But when a person begins to think that he's living in Mitzrayim, where he is in control of his bracha, that is where the Eden turns into a Nega. Again, the difference is in the word Eden, the word Oneg is enjoyment. Oneg is Ayin, Nun, Gimel. Everything is in the right order. There is a recognition, there's something called an Eden. Eden is the Shoresh of all bracha. From that source, there is a Nahar. The Nahar is Yotzei Me Eden. And where does that Nahar lead to? It leads to the Gan, Lahashkois Es Hagan, to give bracha. This is a mashal. Eden is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nahar is the channel, which means the person's avod, the person, he works on himself. He works on himself to channel, to a draw from HaKadosh Baruch Hu bracha, to the Gan, to his environment, to himself, to his family, to his place in life. And when a person lives with that mentality, that is living in the life of Oneg. But if Rachmana Litzlan, a person says, I don't need to come on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can control bracha, that is where we have the Negat Saras. The Negat Saras is now where the Nun, is the Ayin is not in the right place. The Ayin, instead of it being before, what? You lose sight of the perspective of where the Eden is. Now the Ayin comes at the end, and that changes the Mahalach. Okay, let's go to another idea. Simple question, simple observation. Chassam Sefer asked this question. Question is, we have various types of negoim in the parasha. Nigei Adam, on the Roish and the Zaka, on the head and the beard. We have negoim on a person's body. If a person, Rachman Litzlan, has Nigei Tzaras, he goes through a very long process. A long process with two birds, the Eitz Erez, the Ezov, he has to be quarantined, he has to bring a series of Kurbanos, and they have to sprinkle from the water of these two birds, the Mayim Chaim, upon himself. In Parshas Mitzrayim, we have the parasha of Nigei Batim, where there's a nega in the bayis, and it was also a very long process of tahara. If case chas v'shalom, the bayis has saras, so you have to sprinkle, you have to take out the stone, and the Torah says you have to also bring the birds, and you have to sprinkle the Eitz Erez, the Eitzayv, and sprinkle Mayim Chaim on the bayis. In the middle, between the Nigei Adam and the Nigei Batim, we have the Nigei Begadim. If a person has a garment, a beged, or shesi, erev, all the various types of garments which develop a sign of tzaras, there's nothing you have to do. If the nega goes away, you just tovel in the mikvah and you're done. You don't have to sprinkle mayim chayim, bring birds, shach, to bird, one bird, dip the living bird and the dead bird, and sprinkle Mayim Chaim on the garment. So the Chassam Sefer asked the question, why not? What is the difference between clothing that do not require Mayim Chaim relative to the bayis and Adam that do require Mayim Chaim? So he says a very nice answer, very simply. So it is, the difference is, a human being is Kodesh Kadosh. Person is full of mitzvahs, is machshava, is a bal avoda, he has a bris milah, he does Torah u'mitzvos, he's a very holy creature, is the holiest thing in the world, human being. A bias is a tashmishe kedusha. Why is it tashmishe kedusha? As a mezuzah. Every bias is instilled with kedusha because there is a mezuzah that is affixed to the bias. Clothing, the best a piece of clothing has is tzitzis. But tzitzis is only tashmishe mitzvah. When a pair of tzitzis wears out, are you allowed to throw it in the garbage?
No.
Yes, you are. Sure you are.
You are?
You are. You're even allowed to throw the tzitzis in the garbage. Tzitzis are only tashmishe mitzvah. The degree of sanctity is relatively speaking minor. A mezuzah? A mezuzah is klaf, shem Hashem.
No,
talis. Even a talis gadol meikar hadin. Even a talis gadol meikar hadin, you can throw a talis gadol in the garbage. You just wrap it up, wrap it, shnabi, it's torn b'derech b'zayon. But a mezuzah that has written upon it the shem Hashem, shakai on parchment, this is tashmishei kedusha. When you take a mezuzah and you put a mezuzah on the bayis, you're taking a davar shebe kedusha, and you are attaching it to a makom, you're giving that makom a very intense degree of kedusha. A human being, when he learns, when he's metabol ol malchus shemayim, shemayim yisrael Hashem lokein Hashem echad, when he learns Torah, when a person does the mitzvah, the person's body, his guf, has been instilled, has been absorbed a very intense degree of kedusha. But a garment never reached the madrega of kedusha. The best the garment reached is a madrega of tashmishei mitzvah, and therefore, the higher you fall, the higher you go, the lower you fall. It's therefore not necessary to go through the extreme degree, the process of Tyra for garments, the same way we go through the process of Tyra for people and for bottom. A bias requires the waters, the Mayim Chaim. A person, in addition to requiring the waters, he also requires Korbanos. Person's even holier. But clothing are only Tashmishe Mitzvah. Tashmishe Mitzvah don't have that potential to require the greater degree of tahara, because they don't have the potential to achieve the greater degree of kedusha. It's always a rule in Chazal is zelu umazeh. The greater potential there is for kedusha is the greater potential there is for tumah. We don't, for example, find by animals. Animals, when they give birth, is there tumah?
Yes.
There's no such thing as an animal's yoledes. In this week's parasha, we learn about the tumas yoledes. When a human being gives birth, so there's tumah. When an animal gives birth, do we ever find anywhere in the Torah that there's tumah for animals when they give birth? Of course not. Why? Because it's not a holy thing when an animal gives birth. There's no kedusha when a human being is born. The conception and the creation of life is a davar shebe kedusha. When that process is over, it brings tumah. When animals are conceived, there's no special kedusha. Therefore, there's no tumah. Animal can only be a tumas nevela. Human being has tumas shiva, the 7 days of tumah. It's a much greater degree. It's always zeh l'uma zeh bor elokim, and this idea is illustrated very interestingly in this form of negoim. The type of nega that can come to a garment can never reach the type of nega that can come to a bais. And what again is the Musa Haskel about Shalom say is that a person should not underestimate how much kedusha is to be found in a bais. A person's own bais, you come into your home, you're living in a mishkan, you're living in a makam kadosh, and the requirements to behave and to occupy the bais with davar shebe kedusha is seen from this parasha. If a bais can come to a madrega where you need to sprinkle mayim chayim, it shows that it's a davar. The bais, the makam kadosh, and the requirements are that much greater. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here the simple question. Question. We learned yesterday that a chassan has to fast. Chassan b'yom chupasai is required to fast. Why is a chassan required to fast b'yom chupasai? We learned yesterday in the Kitta Shulchan Aruch, in the Shi'anim Yisrael B'alacha, because it's a day of mechila savaynis. It's a day when all of his sins are forgiven. The Gemara says, if a chassan, right before his wedding, or during his wedding, he sees, let's say it's the first day, it's at a suda, he gets married, he notices that his skin just doesn't look right. There seems to be a nega. And he, you know, he's a kohen in training, and he knows that this is saras. But the rule is, it's not saras until the kohen pronounces it to be tameh. So he's not required to go to the kohen for an examination, because the Shiva Simei Mishta, we don't go look for trouble. Question is, how is it possible that the kohen that a person has saras during the Shiva Simei Mishta, when a chassan moichlin loy al kol avayin oisaf, when a chassan, the day when a chassan gets married, they forgive all of his sins. And since saras only comes for the sin of lashon hara, gasa ruach, there's a long list of sins which can lead to saras. So all of those sins, l'chor, should have been taken care of when he got married. So how then can it possibly come that he has saras? It's not... What? Okay, so there are many answers. So he didn't do tshuva. He didn't fast. He didn't do tshuva. It's a joke. It's a big joke. He gets married. What? He's what? What did he say?
He spoke about his mother.
But, so it's not really a kasha. The kasha is not a strong question. We can say that Adam Chaveroi, very good, or you can say that he didn't do tshuva, he didn't take it seriously. There are many answers. But I want to give you another answer. Another answer which is the ultimate answer. A stronger answer. The answer is, well, let's go back to the beginning of Parashas Mitzara, when the tsaras is healed. A lot of the Farshim, they focus on this pasuk, V'yotza HaKoyein, L'chutz L'machana, they get word that the tsaras has healed, V'ra HaKoyein, V'hineh, behold, Nirpa, Nega HaTsaras Min HaTsarua. The Nega HaTsaras has been healed from the tsarua. If you were writing this pasuk, I guarantee you would not write it in this fashion. You would say, V'hineh, Nirpa, HaTsarua, Min HaTsaras. What is the ikar? Is the ikar the person, or is the ikar the disease? Go to a doctor. Yes, doctor, am I healed? You don't ask the doctor, has the disease healed itself? Doesn't make any sense. The patient is sick. If the patient is healed, that means that's the ikar. The person is the ikar. We don't care about the disease. We don't care about the virus. Am I healed? The pasuk should say, V'yotza ha'kadim v'chutz melcha v'ro ha'kadim v'hinei, nirpa ha'tsorua min ha'tsoras. The tsorua. The ill person has been healed from the disease. But that's not what it says. V'hinei nirpa, the nega ha'tsorahas min ha'tsorua. What is going on? So it's a very powerful idea that is brought out by many of the Baalei Mussar. We know that Saras, one of the primary reasons why a person suffers from Saras, because he spoke Lashon Hara. The sin of Lashon Hara is unlike all other sins. A person, let's say, Rachman Leslan, who knows he does an Avera, he's Nichshol, let's say, Ngili Arayas. Okay, it's something very personal. He has harmed his neshama. He has brought damage to his neshama by doing something he should not do. But the sin is, the illness is in the person's neshama, it's in the person's guf. Lashon Hara, it's not just in your guf. The sin of Lashon Hara takes on a life of its own. It's a creation. When a person is nichshol in Lashon Hara, okay, I've destroyed my neshama. I've indulged in pleasure of speaking. But you've created something. You've created gossip. And this gossip now circulates throughout society. This one talks about it. This one talks about it. You've created a golem. Certain types of sins are creations that take on a life of its own that you have no control over. You can sit and do tshuva all you want. You can be the better person. But the damage is done. It's alive and well. The circulation, the gossip is circulating. It's going from person to person, from one mind to another mind. It's taken on a life of its own. Here, when the person has been nichshol in a lashon hara, and for that he has been punished, it's not just that he is sick. There is a sickness out there in the world that he is responsible for. And until he does everything in his power to destroy that gossip, that sickness, he's in trouble. He's in isolation. The Kohen has to come and see the Hinei Nirpa, that the Negat Saras. It's not just that the Tsarua has been healed. There has to be some type of process in society where this life that has this life form that has been created, that is circulating, has dissipated. You know, we all know, let's say there are certain types of God, there's gossip, right? There are things that go on. So it takes time. Time heals all wounds. After a certain period of time, people already forget about it. They forget about the gossip, they forget about the scandal. There are scandals, right? So you go wait a couple of years. Depends on the scandal. Some scandals are so big, they can take decades. It can take centuries. But let's say something not so significant. Someone went and he did a little thing, whatever he did. So in a couple of years from now, 2-3 years, in the 3 months, 2 weeks, it's old news. People make mistakes, we forgot about it. It's no longer a big deal. Oh, no longer a big deal. And the person also has done tshuva for his averus. Now the Kohen can come and say, okay, it's time to go forward. It's time to release you from isolation. And it's time to re-enter society. That's the warning that the Pasuk over here says about Saras. Saras comes from Lashon Hara. It's not just something that affects your neshama. By speaking Lashon Hara, you create a life form. And that life form has a life of its own, and you don't know when it's going to come to an end. You don't know when it's going to die down, when it's going to dissipate, and when it's not going to be an issue. The Kohen has to come and he has to see Vihine Nirpa. What has been Nirpa? What has been healed? The Negat Saras. The Negat Saras that has come, has emanated from the Tsarua, it's no longer an issue in society. It has dissipated. It has dissipated either because you've reconciled, you've done something, you've rectified the problem, but the life form has come to an end. Now we can go back to the original question. How could it be that a chassan during the Shivat Yemei Mishnah has saras? But don't we say that a nega, why don't we say that the answer is when the chassan yom chupas and the mechel kolavanos, that's personal. That's all the sins that relate to the chassan's neshama. But if the chassan was nichshol in lashon hara, where he has created a life form of its own that is circulating in society, he could have done the best possible tshuva. But if during his Shivas Yemei Mishnah there's someone on the other end of the world that is now suffering because of this life form that is this chet, this life that it's taken on, the sin that's taken a life of its own, There's nothing that can be done for him. The negat saras will still appear and relate to him for his averos. Okay, let's go and finish up with another idea. We have the halacha, the part of the kapara process is for the kohen to bring, for the tsarua to bring two birds. One bird is slaughtered, and the other bird is, we take Eitz Erez, Shnit Halas, we dip it in the blood of the dead bird, mixed with Mayim Chayim, and we sprinkle it upon the tsarua, and then we send the bird off we let the other bird go free. Question is, what is the significance of bringing two birds? Why is it that one bird is slaughtered and the other bird is allowed to go free to the world? What is the Musar Haskel of sending the bird free? So I have over here a collection of three different ideas. The first idea is the idea of din v'cheshven. The Gra tells us that in Rosh Hashanah a person has to give din v'cheshven. What is the difference between din and cheshvoin? Similarly, they're both exactly the same. And the Gra answers, din is a person has to stand in judgment to pay for the damage she has done by doing an avera. Cheshvoin means during the time that you did the avera, you could have been involved in doing something good. You could have been doing a mitzvah. Instead of doing an avera, that time could have been dedicated to doing a mitzvah. So you're now going to have to give cheshbon for the loss of the mitzvah that you could have done during that period of time. Chazal tell us the reason why you bring a bird is because birds chirp. The primary cause for tsaras is lashon hara. Lashon hara comes through chirping, gossip, talking. The talking of the bird must be silenced. One bird has to be put out of its misery. It's slaughtered. It's put to death. That means gossip must come to an end. But there's another bird. What is the other bird? During the time that you spent talking and chirping and speaking Lashon Hara, you could have been using your Koyach HaDibur to say good things, positive things, to have been mechazik other people. You went to the restaurant and you sat for 2 hours giving over to someone, play by play, what exactly the crime that so-and-so committed. Every little detail of his avera. During those 2 hours, sitting in the restaurant with your friend, you could have told him, couldn't have been mechazik him. He and that person has problems. Or you could have together worked on a plan to help the person instead of gloat over his suffering. You could have come up with a plan. Maybe we can help him. We can do something with him. The bird that's sent out, al pnei hasadeh, it remains. That is the cheshbon. That is the other half of the person's kapara. One bird represents the lashon hara, has to be slaughtered, which means you have to be silenced for your chirping. And the other bird remains alive as a reminder that instead of chirping and speaking lashon hara, you should have instead involved yourself in speaking good things for toelas and not harmful. Okay, that's one idea. Another idea is, this is brought down in a sefer called Zera Kodesh, is the other bird you send out to the world to tell you that you should use your experience to inspire other people. We all see this very so often where people they create organizations. Some of these organizations become extremely. They create chesed organizations, and when you ask them how did this start, this chesed organization, they'll tell you because I myself suffer from this problem. Like we mentioned this week, Bnei Olam. We discussed that article, Bnei Olam, how did it start? Because the person who found Bnei Olam, he himself had a hard time having children. And he saw the difficulty that went into what goes on into all the various treatments and the whole process, so he started an organization to help other people. A person who has gone through this extremely difficult process of being a mitzvah, he knows firsthand what it means to suffer. Badad yeshev michutz lamachne mashavo. There is enormous humiliation that he has to shave off his hair, all of his eyebrows, it's everything, his whole body has to be shaved, he has to be in isolation, the kohen has to come and examine him, has to inspect him. It's a frightening, humiliating experience. Why? Because he sinned, he spoke lashon hara. Now that the process is over, it's very easy to say, it's over, let me get on with my life. Let's take the bird, slaughter the bird, put an end to this matzah and let's go forward. But the Sfarim say no, it's not over. When the process is over, you take the other bird, the second bird, and you send it out. You send it out and let it make a lot of noise. And when people will see it flying, oh, you know it's flying in the air. You know what bird this is? This bird has some blood on it. It's the bird. It's the counterpart to the bird that was slaughtered and was that represented this person's misery. A person should use his situation as an opportunity to teach other people about the danger of speaking Lashon Hara, being Nichshol in Avera. He should use his situation as an opportunity to teach other people what has happened to him. So this is what the very holy Sefer called the Zera Kodesh. He explains that's the reason why the Torah wants you to send away the second bird. It's a message to a person. Use your experiences and your difficult experiences in life as a tool to teach other people and to help other people get through difficult times. The third idea of why we Zera Kodesh says this. Good disruptions, yeah, okay. And the third idea of why we send away the bird is to remind the person of the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein. There's only one other place in the Torah where you send away a bird, and that is Shiluach HaKein. Why do you send away the mother bird? You have rachmanis on the mother bird. The mother bird, it sees it's a... You want to take the chicks, so you don't want it to have the tsar of witnessing the chicks taken away from it. So you send away rachmanis. You have rachmanis on the bird. Chazal say, do this, have rachmanis. Learn to have rachmanis. Leman yitav loch v'harach t'yamim. Learn to be a good person. Learn to have rachmanis. What did this person do? This person, he spoke Lashon Hara. Instead of having rachmanis on his fellow man, he acted with the greatest degree of cruelty. He took a person who was in a difficult situation, and he was mefarsim. He took information that was not meant to be related to the public. He took information that's true. It was no one's business. It's a gasimanger. He caused another person tsar. Causing another person tsar by speaking Lashon Hara is the diametric opposite of having rachmanis on another person. Therefore, the Torah says, you know what? For you, we're also going to send away a bird. And we're going to send away the bird to remind you that instead of leman yitav lach v'harach t'yamim, what you have done is just the opposite. It's, Chazal say, when you speak Lashon, you kill three people. You bring death to three people. You bring death to yourself for speaking it. You bring death to the subject of the Lashon Hara. And you bring death to the person that listens to the Lashon Hara. You cause death. The words of Chazal, you actually cause death. Leman yitav lach v'harach t'yamim. Here you take the bird and you also send away the bird. As a reminder that, and look what you have done, you foolish person. Instead of sending away a bird, which is normally used to express the inyan of l'man yitav loch v'harach t'yamim, you got yourself involved in an avera for which this brings death. And you should learn from the bird never to do this again, to learn the lessons of life. L'chaim v'loy l'amonis. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful Shabbos.